bunny trail.
Hippity. Hello, this is Mo Shiner, the singer of Quitter Cottontail, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock at the way back. Happy Easter, everybody.
Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day.
Now, friends, following those classic legends of gospel music, I would like to once again welcome you all to this, the third and final hour of today's program. With that mentioned, I would like to also remind you all that we are still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, as well as being heard over historic CFRC 101.9 FM in the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario, and also being heard throughout the Durham and Greater Toronto area through www.oshawarocks.com, and also way back with Johnny on YouTube. With that all shared, let's once again turn back the years to the golden era of broadcasting and remember a sort of sermon that was done by Paul Harvey, one of my true mentors and heroes in broadcasting. And it's going to be more or less his Easter message, which was also called The Birdcage. With that, welcome to the third and final hour, friends, and happy listening.
Paul Harvey's Easter sermon is never the best that you hear on Easter. It's always the shortest. And it starts with a story about a Boston preacher named S.D. Gordon. Dr. Gordon placed a beat-up, bent, rusted old birdcage beside his pulpit and told the story about that birdcage. He said an unkempt, unwashed little lad about age 10 was coming up the alley swinging this old caved-in birdcage with several tiny birds shivering on the floor of it. The compassionate Dr. Gordon asked where did the boy get the birds. The lad said he had trapped them. What was he going to do with them? The preacher asked. The boy said, I'm going to play with them, have fun with them. The preacher said, sooner or later, lad, you're going to get tired of that. And then what are you going to do with them? And the lad said, well, I have some cats at home. They like birds. I'll feed them to my cats. Dr. Gordon said, son, how much do you want for the birds? The boy, surprised, hesitated, and then he said, mister, you don't want to buy these birds. They're just plain old field birds. They can't even sing, and they're ugly. Just tell me, the preacher said. The girl had thought about it and stuck one eye and calculated and hesitated. $2? To his surprise, Dr. Gordon reached into his pocket and handed the lad $2 bills. And the preacher took the cage, and the boy in a wink had disappeared down the alley. In a sheltered crevice between buildings, Dr. Gordon opened the door of the cage, and tapping on the rusty exterior, he encouraged the little birds one at a time to find their way out through the narrow door and fly away. Thus, having accounted for the empty cage beside his pulpit, the preacher went on to tell what seemed at first like a separate story about how once upon a time Jesus and the devil had engaged in a negotiation. Satan had boasted how he had baited a trap in Eden's garden. He had baited a trap, and he'd caught himself a world full of people. What are you going to do with all those people in your cage? Jesus wanted to know. The devil said, I'm going to play with them, tease them. Make them marry and divorce and fight and kill one another. I'm going to teach them to throw bombs at each other. I'm going to have fun with them. And Jesus had said you can't have fun with them forever. When you get tired of playing, then what are you going to do with them? And Satan had said, damn them. They're no good anyway. Damn them. Kill them. Jesus said, how much do you want for them? Satan said, you can't be serious. If I sell them to you, they'll just spit on you. They'll hate you. They'll hit you and hammer nails into you. They're no good. Jesus said, how much? Satan said, all of your tears and all of your blood. That is the price. And Jesus took the cage and paid the price and opened the door. Now our purpose of Easter in a dozen words. Jesus lived a good life in a wicked world to show us that it could be done. He died, and he rose again to show us that we could do that too. Paul Harvey. Good day.
Now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to pay tribute to the East Coast of Canada on the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC and www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, last weekend I had played a song by our King of the Newfies, Michael T. Wall, a song that he recorded called Gasoline. Now, I had also mentioned last week that it was almost $1.69 or $1.70 a liter. Well, this week I couldn't believe it when I had seen almost $1.90 a liter. Isn't that ridiculous for gas? Anyway, it's going to be that all-time classic by the King of the Newfies, Gasoline, going out to all of us feeling the gas prices these days. Then we'll follow with another all-time favorite, this time by the Pride of the East Coast of Canada, as I have often called him. And it's going to be Dick Nolan and his all-time classic called Aunt Martha's Sheep. He'll wrap up with another all-time timeless favorite from the East Coast, and this time it'll be Stompin' Tom Connors once again, the King of Canadian Country Music, and an all-time favorite called Margot's Cargo. With that, welcome in to this, the East Coast selection of music. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Gasoline, gasoline, highest prices that I ever seen. What on earth is going on with gasoline? Oh, gasoline. Filled up my tank the other night. Watched that meter just spin out of sight. Don't I wish they'd lower the price of gasoline? Oh, gasoline. Spends a lot of time in my backyard. I can't afford to drive her far on gasoline, gasoline. Gasoline, gasoline, highest prices that I ever seen. Aren't we tired of getting a ream by gasoline, oh gasoline. Fill her up again, sir. What? Almost empty again. Think I'll just buy me a pony with plenty of horsepower. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Just feed us some oats and hay. Giddy up there, Chip. Tie your silver away.
Come gather all around me and I'll sing to you a tale about the boys in Carmelville who almost went to jail. It happened on a November's night when all hands was asleep. We crept up over Joe Tulson and we stole their Martha Sheep. Now if you pay attention, I know I'll make a laugh. We never went to steal the sheep, we went to steal the calf. The old cow, she got angry because we woke her from her sleep. We couldn't take any chances, so we had to steal the sheep. Well, we got the woolly animal and dragged her from her pen. She said goodbye to little lamb she'd never see again. She knew that those dark strangers soon would take her life. In less than half an hour, she felt a dreadful night. And Martha, she got angry when she heard about the loss. Said she'd catch the robbers, no matter what the cost. Next morning, just at sunrise, she to the office went. And to the RCMP, a telegram she sent. Well, the Mountie got the message and he started in to read. This is from my Martha, telling an awful deed. Last night, my sheep was stolen,
by whom I cannot tell. I'd like for you to catch them and to drag them back to jail. Well, just a short time later, about 12 o'clock at night, we had the sheep a-cookin' and everyone feeling tight. The smell of mutton and onions, no man could ask for more. We chug-a-lugging the minion when the Mountie walked in the door. Said, sorry, boys, your party, I really don't want to wreck. I smelled the meat a-cookin' and I had to come in and check. You see, the sheep are stolen and the thief is on the loose. So come right in and join us, sir, we're having a bees and loose. But he came right in, he sat right down, we gave him a piece of sheep. And this is the finest piece of moose I know as I ever eat. But 2 o'clock in the morning, he bid us all good day. We get snickers and the sheep, so we'll phone you right away. Said, thanks a lot, you're darn fine bunch, your promise I know you keep. If everyone was as good as you, you wouldn't have lost your sheep. After he left, we had the peace we had in the oven to roast. We might have sold the sheep, boys, but the Mountie ate the most.
Have you heard the news in Newfoundland? Rolling around the rock, how Reggie brought for Margie home a cowsy dungsy clock. With Margie being a farm girl, she almost took a fit to find the cowsy dungsy clock was really made of it. The clock was from Toronto, and her mind was soon made up. She said to Reggie, get the cowl and load her on the truck. We're heading for Ontario, and we're off to make her big. 'Cause Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Now they're rolling through the Maritimes, the truck was nearly full. The cow began to bawl, she was lonesome for the bull. The Mountie pulled them over, is there something I can do? Go right ahead, Sir Margie said, climb in the back and move. Now when they got to Montreal, they missed the auto route. But they found that everyone in town was glad to help them out. The sooner you hit Toronto, they said, the sooner you'll make her big. 'Cause Margot got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Now the truck was overflowing when Toronto hit the rise. The 401 was full of dung and the cab was full of flies. We're losing lots of money, Reg, we can't afford to stop. We gotta find the place that makes the cowsy dungsy clock. Well, I wish you could have been there on the corner of Queen and Yonge when Margot found the company and she dumped her load of dung. And when she found the office, she was singing and doing a jig. Margot's got the cargo buys and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie got the rig. Reggie got the rig. Margot brought the cargo buys and Reggie brought the rig. It was later in the evening when they heard from Mr. Judge. I don't know what they give yous, but I'll never hold a grudge. I think $1,000 would be fair to hand you down, and 30 days of lodging will be free upon the town. Now Margot says to Reggie, what a hell of a deal we struck. We might have lost a cow by, but still we got the truck. And now they're back in Newfoundland, they're loading up the pig. 'Cause Margot got the cargo by and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by and Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by and Reggie's got the rig.
Hi friends, it's Peter Trenum from way down here in Nova Scotia. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the way back.
To be ever with the Lord, you and me.
Way back. Well, yes, friends, now it's that time in the program to pay tribute to High Lonesome Sounds of Bluegrass Music, as we also send out a very happy and very special belated birthday message to my dear friend, Sandra Day, in Ingleside, Ontario. With that, we'll send out a birthday song to her by all her friends in Bluegrass, and it's going to be Mac Wiseman, an all-time classic called Maple on the Hill. Then we'll follow with the newest inductees to the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, the famed Stanley Brothers, Ralph and Carter Stanley, and Master's Bouquet. I'll wrap up with another all-time favorite by a band that I recently seen last year, and it's going to be Nothing Fancy, and it'll be a song called The Bluebirds Are Singing For Me. With that, I would like to say good morning and happy Easter to all our bluegrass fans out there in radio world.
Sent down from above, sent for the buds of the flowers we love. Truly a soul far in heaven's own way, each soul is a flower in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay, gathered by angels and carried away forever to bloom in master's bouquet. Loved ones are passing each day and each hour, passing away as a life of a flower. But every bud and each blossom someday will bloom as a flower in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay, gathered by angels and carried away forever to bloom in the master's bouquet. Let us be faithful till life's work is done, blooming with love till the reaper shall come. Then we'll be gathered together someday, transplanted to bloom in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay, gathered by angels and carried away forever to bloom in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay, gathered by angels and carried away forever to bloom in the master's bouquet.
Thank you.
Well, yes, friends, now it's that time in the program to pay tribute to one last final gospel interview that I got to do over the years with none other than J.D. Sumner's nephew, the legendary Donnie Sumner. And following this interview with Donnie Sumner of the gospel genre music, we're going to pay tribute to an all-time favorite associated with Easter, and that, of course, is called The Night Before Easter. With that, we'll pay tribute to this all-time interview from many years ago, and now here is none other than Donnie Sumner once again. So I'd like to welcome to the Wayback Country Gospel Jamboree today, a true icon of gospel music. This man's great uncle was, the deepest bass singer in the Bill Gaither Quartet, who also was the founding member of the great Stamps Quartet. Please make welcome to our show the man who is the nephew of the legendary J.D. Sumner, Mr. Donnie Sumner.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here, buddy.
Well, it's great to be talking to you. Your uncle was a wonderful man, as you are.
He was my hero. Thanks for the compliment.
So, born into the J.D. Sumner family, what was it like being the nephew of J.D.?
Well, sir, my daddy was a preacher, and it was J.D.'s brother.
Okay.
And he was just my Uncle Jake. I called him Jake. Everybody in the family called him Jake.
Okay.
He was just Uncle Jake, but he was always my hero.
Growing up, did he get you inspired into the gospel music?
I always wanted to be like J.D., and that was the reason I went into gospel music.
Okay, sure. And at what age did you know that you were wanting to become a gospel singer like your uncle?
As far back as I can remember, which is about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, uh-huh. And do you have any of your favorite memories of J.D.?
Well, I've got so many, Johnny, it'd be hard to pick out one.
I remember
him when he was with the Sunshine Boys, and he was on the Wheeling, West Virginia WWBA Jamboree. I remember when he joined the Blackwoods. I remember going to sing at my first concert, and he was there.
Okay.
I just got so many, Johnny, it'd be hard to pick out one, buddy.
I understand that, yes. So I'd like to ask about a song that you had out called The Night Before Easter.
Yes, sir.
What's the story behind that song?
Well, it was 1969, and I was in California with Stamps Quartet, and my family was back here, and it was the week of Easter, and my wife always dressed up my little boy like John Boy Kennedy.
Okay.
And I got to thinking on Saturday night about what he was going to be doing Sunday afternoon, getting eggs and getting his clothes messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to think about what it might have been like the night before Jesus was risen from the grave, and that's what prompted me to write the song called The Night Before Easter, about what was happening in and around Jerusalem during just before the resurrection.
Okay, sure. So I would like to ask about, I've been speaking to many ministers over the years, and they say there's quite a decline in the church attendance. What is your thoughts on this?
There's not a decline in church attendance. There's a decline in fundamental.
Okay.
What you call fundamental Pentecostal religion.
Yes. Okay.
Everything's going to a new breed of Pentecostalism, but the church world is doing fine. Some of the biggest churches in the world are during this generation.
Okay. And another question I have here is, you worked with the late, great Elvis Presley on a lot of his music.
Yeah, sure. I did, I think, 18 albums with Elvis, and he recorded two of my songs, and I did somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 shows with him.
Oh, wow. So you must have known him quite well, did you?
I lived in his house for 3 years.
Oh, yes. So was he, pardon my ignorance, but he wasn't as, he had a gospel side to him. It wasn't all the sex symbol and all that. He had a true relationship with the Lord, didn't he?
Johnny, when someone asked me about someone else's spiritual relationship with Christ, I never answer. That's between them.
Okay.
I'll just say that he had a true love for gospel music.
Yes.
That was his favorite form of music, and my group called Voice sang to him every night, at least a couple of hours.
Okay.
Of gospel music at the house or in the hotel or wherever he was at. That's the reason he hired us, to sing gospel music to him at night.
Okay.
But as far as his relationship with Christ, that was between him and the good Lord.
Yeah, I understand you there, yes. As my grandfather says, it's very personal.
Yeah. I can't answer for nobody but me. I am, and I hope everybody else is.
Yes. Amen to that. So your uncle was known for many of his songs that he recorded. One of these that I'd like to ask about is a recitation he recorded on his final album called Old Man Death.
He was in the hospital, and they were fixing to do some kind of serious procedure on him, and he wrote that poem the night before he went into surgery, and a few days later, he was out of the hospital, and on his next record, he recorded it. I produced the record.
Okay, yeah, and it must have been quite spiritual or emotional doing that, because I can't hear it without shivers going down my back.
Yeah, he sort of got into it pretty good while he was doing it.
He sure did, yeah. And you've also written many of the modern-day hymns, I understand.
I've written a lot of songs, Johnny. I don't really know how many.
Okay.
I've got a couple of songbooks of my songs, and
yes.
I can't tell you how many records I've been on with other people singing my music.
Okay. So that question that I'd like to ask is, what is your thoughts on the biggest change of gospel music during the last 20 to 50 years?
Oh, the biggest change is there's not very many quartets left. It's family groups and contemporary groups. There's not very many of the old-fashioned Southern gospel groups out there anymore. Nobody dresses alike anymore. Nobody puts on a show. They sort of went into the church world as opposed to the concert stage world.
Okay.
That's the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I was talking to Bill Gaither just half an hour ago, and he was talking about the drums and different things in the music.
Oh, yeah. It used to be just the piano alone and four singers.
Yes.
And now you can't have a group unless you use a soundtrack. There's no more live bands, hardly. And it's all really highly produced soundtracks. And they've lost the old-fashioned sound of Southern gospel music.
Exactly. They sure have.
The closest thing they had was the old Southern gospel was cathedrals, and they retired.
Okay. So last question is, how would you like to be remembered when the time comes?
Well, serious and humorous.
Okay.
My brother-in-law was passing away in hospice, and he said, Donnie, what do you want them to look, when they come by and look at you, what do you want them to say? He said, when they come by and look at me, I want them to say he's a great man. What do you want them to say? I said, Ed, when they come by and look at me, I want them to look down at me and say, my Lord, he's alive.
Yes.
But seriously, I would like to be known as a man who honored his word, had integrity, and loved his family, and was kind to his friends, and helped as many people as he could. If they say that, I'll be happy.
Well, I'm sure they will, Donnie.
Thanks, Johnny, for having me on. You have a blessed day, buddy.
Well, you too. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Write down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Good afternoon, friends, and this here's your host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlock. I'd like to invite y'all to contact me, yours truly, the host with the most country western music here at CFRC, through my P.O. box up here in Cornwall, Ontario, and I'll be sure to write you back. So just write to Mr. Johnny Woodlock, care of the Woodlock Ranch, at P.O. Box 21007, Cornwall, Ontario, K6H7H8. That's the old-fashioned snail mail way, or feel free to email me at waybackcountry@cfrc.ca, and I'll be sure to write you back and send you some amazing photos of our beloved Woodlock mascot, Simbush, and our beloved late mascot, Martina the Wonder Goat. Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
When the darkness I see, you'll be waiting for me.
I won't have to cross Jordan alone. It's a cold, dreary day, and I'm laying in my room. You see, I don't have long to live, and I'll be leaving here soon. Oh, I've had a good life with so many happy memories, And I relived them all today, and they were so real to me. Saw my daddy working in the field, and I heard Mama pray again, and even saw our little preacher roll up his sleeves and preach on the devil, he said. And I remember when I married my little woman, and how we tore together to raise our family. It seemed that she'd strive and do things every day to make it easier on me. You see, God gave us two little girls, and again today I heard them cry. Heard them laugh and saw them play, but now I've told them goodbye. Ah, this old room is cold. And there's somebody here I've never met before. I know who it is. It's old man Death. I saw him when he came through the door. Listen, he's speaking now, and I can hardly see. Okay, old boy. Your time is up. You're to come and go with me. Oh, I'll admit that I'm scared, and I'm holding to my wife's little hand. But I said, okay, Mr. Death, but before I go, that's something you got to understand. You don't scare me none. I got a friend who's going with me. Why, he walked up Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago and gave his life, don't you see? Why, he even conquered you, Mr. Death, and he paid the price of sin. And he arose from that old grave. Do you understand me? And he's coming back again. And when I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, I'll have no less days to sing my God's praise than when I first begun. Oh, I can see old Jordan, but I have Jesus by the hand. This is why you hold no fear for me, do you understand? Now go ahead and take my body, but you can't touch my soul. It belongs to Jesus, and over him you have no control. Mr. Death, where is thy sting, O grave, thy victory? Let's go now. I want to rest in the arms of Jesus throughout eternity.
When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me.
To cross Jordan alone.
Morning and hear my radio. Come to life with music from my favorite bluegrass show.
Howdy, friends and listeners, this here's your old host with most. I'd like to tell you all about the 2026 Gallup Canal Bluegrass Festival. Coming up the summer of 2026, happening from June 17th to the 20th, where you can see some of the greatest bluegrass legends of today, such as Jackson Hollow, High River, and of course, our headliner, Junior Sisk. The full weekend pass only costs $120 in advance, that's until June 1st of 2026. However, there will also be day passes available at the gate. So get yours today by visiting gallopcanalbluegrass.ca or by contacting Barb at 613-543-3114. See y'all there, friends.
Where we bow to love each other.
Now, friends, following that interview with our legendary friend Donnie Sumner of the gospel genre music, we're once again back here, and it's that time in the program to pay tribute to a very special recording by none other than Stoney Cooper of the famed Stoney Cooper and Wilma Lee fame. With that mentioned, we're going to share a very special audio here that was called The Story of the Three Nails. Now, this is the true meaning of Easter and the true meaning of Christ. With that mentioned, we'll dedicate this to a dear friend of mine and her family on this Easter morning. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy listening. We'll be back following this with the Way Back Song of the Week.
Friends, I would like very much to tell you the story of the three nails. It all happened a long time ago in a faraway country. Now, these three nails were not like the nails we know so well today. These were not made by machines and were so much larger, they were called spikes. These three nails were born in a tiny shop in the city of Jerusalem and lived in a small wooden box on the very top shelf in the shop. This pleased them no end, for from their lofty perch they could see the crowds that thronged the busy street. Now, about the time our story really began, there was a young man creating quite a commotion in that part of the country. It seems he had been going about from city to city, healing the sick and raising the dead. Why, he had even turned the water into wine. Yes, the three nails had heard quite a bit about this man from conversations in the shop. And being intelligent and not at all like ordinary nails, they had discussed among themselves the question as to what manner of man this could be. Some of the people they had overheard said he was a prophet, while others contended that he performed the miracles through the power of Beelzebub. Now, as we said, these three nails were very intelligent, so they agreed they would wait for a chance to see and hear this man before they should say he is true or he is false, which you must agree was a very honest and fair decision. As the days passed swiftly into months, it became more and more apparent to the three nails that the religious rulers and those in authority were becoming more and more alarmed at the many wonders this man did. In their little box home on the top shelf, the three nails hoped and prayed that this man would pass down the street so they could see him. As they eagerly waited for that day, they began to tell each other how each thought he would look. Tall? No, answered another. I think he is no taller than Joseph, the shopkeeper. Perhaps he is rather stout and jolly, ventured another. No, answered the wisest of the three. From all we have heard, he has no place to live and not near enough to eat. I am sure that he is neither stout nor jolly. Now, every year at this time, the people observed the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, and the three nails knew there would be the usual crowd with all the excitement of a great holiday. But this year, it was so different. There was a tension among the people. The three nails could feel something evil and sinister in many of the faces of those who came into the shop. However, in a few faces, the three nails could discern fear, and on some were traces of a tear. How they wished somebody would buy them so that they might be taken out into the crowd where they could learn what had caused all this unusual excitement. Then it happened. Suddenly, a large, rough hand dipped into the box and grasped the three nails tightly. Then very swiftly they were carried out of the shop and toward a hill that stood just outside the city. The three nails shouted with happiness, "Free! Free at last!" Now if fate was kind, perhaps they would see and hear this man called Jesus. Then one of the nails, peeking between two very rough and firm fingers, explained, "I know this place. Who would build a house or a barn, for that matter, on Golgotha?" The hand slowly opened, and there on the ground lay a huge wooden cross. But it was not the cross that made their little steel heart stand still. No, it was the man who was stretched out upon it, ready for crucifixion. Never in their life at the shop, where all manner of man came and went, had they seen such a man as this. How could you describe all the beauty and humility, the strength and the goodness one could see in this doomed man? No, all the words in the world could never do him justice. Surely he must be the Son of God. Then, like a bolt of lightning, the three nails realized why they had been brought here and the awful crime that they were to be a part of. In the last seconds before they were driven into his feet and hands, the three nails spoke to him in the language of nails, which I am sure he understood, and asked him to forgive them for their part in this dreadful deed. And I am just as sure that had you been there and could speak the language of nails, you would have heard him say with a smile, "I understand, and you are forgiven." And that, my friends, is the story of the three nails.
Well, yes, friends, once again, before we say so long from the Way Back with Johnny Show, I would like to pay tribute to the Way Back Song of the Week. With that mentioned, this being Easter and a holiday associated with candy and bunnies, I would like to once again pay tribute to an all-time favorite from many, many years ago that was a favorite of my late granny's, and that was called the Big Rock Candy Mountain. This version is going to be the original version by none other than the Wayfaring Stranger, as he was often referred to as, and also Big Daddy on Fiddler on the Roof, and that of course is Burro Ives. We will be back following this. Send us all the way home. Welcome in, friends. Now here's Burro.
Oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that Big Rock Candy Mountain. On a summer's day in the month of May, a burly bum come hiking down a shady lane near the sugar cane. He was looking for his liking. As he strolled along, he sung a song of a land of milk and honey, where a bum can stay for many a day, and he won't need any money. Oh, 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 oh. The buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that Big Rock Candy Mountain. In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, the cops have wooden legs, the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, the barns are full of hay. I want to go where there ain't no snow, where the sleet don't fall and the wind don't blow, in that Big Rock Candy Mountain. Oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that Big Rock Candy Mountain. Oh, 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 oh. the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that big rock candy mountain.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program. Say so long from the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 101.9 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. With that mention, I would like to wish each and every one of you a very blessed and happy Easter out there who are listening in today. I'd also like to wish you all a wonderful week coming up, as we will be back next weekend, same great time, same great place. In the meantime, may God bless and keep each and every one of you, and as I say, have a good Easter. As they play us all the way home today with two essential songs of Easter. First of all, it's going to be an all-time classic by Hank Locklin, the great tenor of country music, and an all-time classic called The Upper Room. Then we'll follow with Wilma Lee and Stoney Cooper one final time today, and an all-time favorite called Walking My Lord Up Calvary's Hill. With that, may God bless and keep you all, and yes, as I say, happy Easter each and every one of you. Catch y'all next weekend. So long, friends.
It's getting dark in the evening gloom when the master entered in the upper room, and with him 11 apostles so true. As the master well knew, the time now had come for God's will to be done. The great God was given his only dear son to spill
and with a prayer, he broke it. And these are the words that he said. This is my body, which is given for you. Eat it in remembrance for the works that you must do. He then took the cup and gave thanks over it. He said, "This is my blood.
This is my blood.
You must drink
every bit.
It is shed for the many who will answer the call to redeem."
We all know the story of the next day. They seized our dear Savior. They mocked him with scorn. How through our Savior the kingdom was born. The pieces of silver
Did Judas no good? He hung himself as Christ knew he would. Thus the fingers of God wove into life's loom the memory.
Host with most, Johnny Whitlock, reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is the sole associate of Whitlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep you till we meet again. Goodbye.
Transplant Advocate Association invites you to celebrate Be a Donor Month this April. Be a Donor Month brings awareness to the need for organ and tissue donation in Ontario and inspires people who are not currently registered to do so. In addition, April 7th is designated as Green Shirt Day across Canada in honor of Humboldt Broncos hockey player Logan Boulay, who saved six lives after he and several of his teammates perished in a bus crash in 2018. Logan's story encouraged more than 150,000 Canadians to register their intent to donate their organs. In celebration of Be a Donor Month and Green Shirt Day on April 7th, TAA invites the general public to flag raising and proclamation ceremony at Napanee Administration offices at 11 a.m. or in Kingston at Confederation Park in front of City Hall at 5 p.m. Town and city officials will be in attendance at both events, and the public can take the opportunity to speak with any of the members present about their personal transplant journeys.
Hi, I'm Steve Swelsey Wells, and I'm extraordinarily excited to invite you to Gannspring Rock 2026 on April the 25th at the Royal Theatre in Gananoque. Come rock out with MC Shansky, Gananoque's poet laureate Gretchen Huntley, and listen and dance to some great rocking grooves by Pudge, The Red Handed,